So it's no exaggeration to say that we live our entire life encased in and sometimes crossing over and creating and breaking boundaries. We've heard about a few already this morning. I was thinking about how I drove here this morning, being thankful for the lines on the streets, which tell me and every other car on the road where to drive, in theory at least. And I'm thankful when I take my sons to a park which has a fenced-in playground, so that I have somewhat more certainty that they will stay close to where I am, even if I lose track of them for a moment. I'm especially thankful for the long, hard work that's been done in religious communities to talk about boundaries of healthy behavior, especially where those boundaries have been broken before. And like all of us, I chafe at a lot of boundaries. I hate those airport security checkpoints, though I do appreciate the need for some sort of boundaries between those flying and not flying, but I think they're done incredibly poorly and at great annoyance and very little effectiveness. I think the way that we, and this is the sort of royal we, our country and maybe the Western world, maybe the whole world, the way that we fetishize national borders is often really unhealthy. As if the people on one side of an arbitrary line in the sand are that different from people on the other side. And I've spent enough time on our nation's southern border, at least, to know that I am going to be very skeptical of such claims. Because Nogales, Arizona looks a lot like Nogales, Sonora, I got to tell you. And our country has a long history, for instance, of what's called redlining, that is intentionally preventing certain groups of people from living in certain neighborhoods, usually based on racial biases. I grew up in supposedly liberal Austin, Texas, which is actually one of the most segregated cities in our nation by neighborhood because of the history of these practices and their still modern incarnations. So as I lifted up earlier in our children's our time for all ages, rather, I hope that I've made it clear that I don't think boundaries or borders or lines or whatever are inherently good or bad, right? They're just tools. I think they're necessary in many cases, but they can also be misused and harmful. They can be oppressive. They serve good purposes, and they're sometimes a problem. Because if you have boundaries that are too hard and let nothing through, then that's no good. But if you have no boundaries at all or really weak boundaries, that's no good either. I really liked my metaphor of the house, right? I don't let just anybody come into our house. Members of the family are pretty much allowed to come and go when they will, though my youngest tests that theory a lot. Had to get a latch for the very top of the door because otherwise he opens the front door and runs out into the street. And there are some people that are allowed in certain time. You know, when you invite friends over, they're allowed to come in when you told them they can. And other people are allowed sometimes. But most of the time, people are not supposed to cross that boundary, at least without your permission. And so weeks and weeks and weeks ago, as I knew Solano Stroll would be today, I came up with this topic to talk about boundaries because one of the very important boundaries in my life is that between church and the rest of the world. I live a lot of my life in church because of my profession, but even when I was a layperson, I spent a lot of time at church. And when I say at church, we often think of church as this building we're in, right? But really, that's not true. This is our church's building. Our church is the people, our congregation. I was trying to explain this, in fact, this morning, because CJ, our older son, was asking about this, and I asked him before so I can tell this story. It's okay. I'm not sharing anything he doesn't want me to. Because he was really confused that all of us were coming out of the house and getting in the car, that is me and Kristen and CJ and John, but that mommy, Kristen, wasn't actually going to be here today where he and his brother are and I am. And she's going to be down at Solano Stroll, where a lot of our members are today. And I was trying to talk to him about why this was, that we always go to church on Sunday. Daddy, don't you know that? Like, yeah, I know that. It's very important to him, scheduling. And I said, actually, mommy is going to church too, right? She's just going to church at a different place than we usually go to. Because the thing we're doing here right now is church. And when he's over in Skytown in childcare, that's church. And in his classes right now in family ministry, like, that's church too. And a couple weeks ago when I and about 30 of our members went down to protest to the rally against hate, that was church too. And he's been with me to a different protest. I was like, the place where we raised the signs up and people honked at us. And he's, oh yeah, I remember that. I was like, that's church too, right? So the boundary isn't between whether or not you're on this physical property or not. It's what you're doing in the world that defines church. Are you doing the good work of making our world a better place and deepening your spiritual life? Then, as far as I'm concerned, you can call it whatever you want, but you're doing church. And if you're here, but, you know, tabulating your finances in the back of the room and ignoring me, you might be doing church too, but I'm more skeptical of that. So the boundary isn't a physical one here, it's one in our minds about what we're doing. So each week, though, I feel like there's whiplash, because what tragedy is natural or human-made or some combination of both, well, I feel compelled to talk to about here in church on Sunday as we worship. How do I encounter those in my life? I accidentally forgot to lift up the prayers of our people from this book earlier, but I'm going to lift up the one that was written right now by our own Craig Scott, who lifts up prayers for 800,000 young people under DACA, that is Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals in the United States, who are just trying to live the American dream, as he says, and are cruelly put in jeopardy by executive order. Because this makes me think about those borders and boundaries too. These 800,000 people, now many of them not children anymore, but young adults who came to this country, who crossed a border, did so without the right papers, perhaps, or definitely. It made me think about them. It's 800,000 people. 200,000 of them are in California, give or take. 100,000 just in greater Los Angeles. 100,000. There's thousands within a short walk from here, I would imagine. So when I think about boundaries, semi-permeable perhaps, I think about this, like, how are we conducting the boundaries of our nation, and what does that mean about us? What does it mean that we don't want people to come in here, but we're willing to exploit the labor of the people who are here? What does it mean that people, all of whom have been doing the right things under this program, who are in school, 91% are employed, they're paying taxes, we're telling them, no, the thing we promised you a few years ago might no longer be true, and we're going to send it to Congress, our notoriously broken and unable to do anything Congress, to try to find a solution. Basically, I want to say the same things I've been preaching for weeks, because there are no new sermons under the sun, right? There aren't two sides to these issues. We can have a lot of different thoughts about them, but all of us have to be on the side of humanity. And it's time we started acting like it, and that includes those politicians who would rather make a point than help someone. And as I said last week, because again, there are no new sermons under the sun, it's just the same things. People are more important than the work they do, or the color of their skin, or the language they speak, or who they love, or what papers they did or didn't have 10 years ago or more when they came to live here. So if there's a policy that hurts people for the sake of holding up some ideology, it's time to reconsider that ideology. Now here I imagine I'm preaching to the choir, but we have our own issues that we feel this same way about, right? We've been there. We've done this. I like to bring up my favorite Unitarian problems from the past, notably that very few Unitarians in 1850 were for ending slavery. And those who were mostly not in favor of ending slavery right now. They were in favor of limiting it, maybe eventually ending it. It wasn't until after John Brown, after Dred Scott, that most Unitarians came to an abolitionist position. Fast forward a few decades, and Unitarians especially, but also Universalists, were involved in in some of the programs that decided that some people were less worthy than others based on who the color of their skin, in some sort of pseudoscience that decided that people were different. We have to really think closely about how we feel about the boundaries we make in our lives, about who we let in and who we don't, and what that means about us, because the boundaries that we create in our world are more about us than they are about the people we keep in or let out, or that we let in or keep out. As a church, we have boundaries too. I want us to be out in the world every day making a difference, and some of us are, many of us are. I want us to think of all of that as the work of church. I'm so glad that this is a congregation that's willing to do something even on a Sunday morning like go to Solano Stroll, and I'm so glad for all of you who are here too, because both of those are worthy ways of being church and doing church in the world. In fact, I think we have to do both all the time. We have to be here feeding our spirit and out in the world doing the work. There's no solution that involves just one or the other. I think both of them have to be a part of who we are as Unitarian Universalists and who the Unitarian Universalist Church of Berkeley is. So friends, as you go out into the world today, think of how you can do church. And know too that even after church, it's not too late to head down to Solano Stroll. We have a lovely booth there. You can enjoy good food and good company. So friends, let us go out into the world to be the church, both here in this building and every place we go. May it be so.